It's David L. Gray off Code Unscripted. You know, my brother and I, we were just talking about this on the phone. You can always spot a black man. I don't know if it's just black men. It may be all men. I don't know. Let me know in the comment box. But I know for certain that you can always spot a black man who was raised by his mama, who never had a daddy, who had really no strong male influences on his life. Essentially raised by women. You can always spot them. They tend to always be emotional, a little bit effeminate, always lying. And that's one thing I never liked about Barack Obama. Just even before I knew he was a bisexual, even before I really knew his story, how he didn't know his father, how he's raised by his mama, I just felt there was something a little off about the dude. You know, just a little bit effeminate, you know, some little what we would call just bitch qualities about him. Like, I never liked him. And for 8 years while he was president, all he did, which is interesting, was speak down to black men. Which is interesting because he never had a father, but somehow he felt entitled to be America's black dad. You know, like Bill Cosby, like America's dad. Barack Obama always thought he was America's black dad, but he never had a father. But he's always speaking down to black men. Somehow, we gave him the impression that he was safe doing so, that he was allowed to do so. I don't know how that happened. I don't know who gave him permission. Probably black women gave him permission. Hey, Obama, could you speak to black men? They messing up. You know, he's felt that it was his place to speak down to black men. And here he goes again. He's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm about to play this video. If you want to see the whole clip of Obama interruptions, just click on the link in the description box. It'll take you there. But watch this video of Obama speaking down once again to black men. And check out what he has to say.
I'm going to go ahead and just speak some truths, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Because my understanding, based on reports I'm getting from campaigns and communities, is that we have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running.
All right, so what he's saying here is that based upon what he's seeing out there in the streets and what he's hearing from the campaign is that people are not messing with, they're not rocking with Kamala as they did him. And apparently that's a problem because, well, Kamala is supposed to be black. So why are they not rocking with Kamala and she's like him, apparently? But they have the same, you know, what's wrong here? They're both black, but black people are not responding to Kamala as they did him.
Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers.
The brothers, code for black men.
So if you don't mind, just for a second, I'm going to speak to y'all directly.
So here we go. Here we go once again. America's black dad. Feel that it's his place to speak down to black men. And I don't even know where I get this from. He has nothing in his background that identifies him as being a culturally black man. As a black man. Nothing. He didn't grow up in a black community. He's raised by a white mom and white grandparents. His father was a Kenyan. There's nothing about him that gives him the license to speak, to address black men. He may spend a little bit of time in Chicago, but there's nothing about him that's culturally black. The blackest thing about him is Michelle Obama. So I don't know why he feels safe to do this, or even why black men like these men standing around him feel that they can receive this from him. This is weird. I don't get it.
And say that when you have a choice that is this clear, when on the one hand you have somebody who grew up like him, knows.
Kamala did not grow up like us. And I don't even know what us is. He's throwing this out here like, so all black people have this monolithic experience. Like all people, black people grew up in the hood. Or like Kamala Harris in a middle class neighborhood in Canada. I don't know. What do you mean she grew up like us? I don't even know. What is he talking about? I mean, he's not even tuned in to the critique that black Americans have about Kamala Harris, that she's not like us.
Went to college with you.
Oh, because she went to a historically black university, right? she became an AKA Alpha Kappa sorority. Oh, she's like you? Okay.
Understands the struggles and pain and joy that comes from those experiences. Who's had to work harder and do more.
And that's one of those things that's part of the black culture narrative. This is something that a lot of black women have told their sons, a lot of black grandmothers have told their grandsons, that to get somewhere in life, you have to work twice as hard and be twice as smart to get to what white people have. This is just part of the historical grievance, the historical narrative that victimizes, in particular, black men, that they're always this consummate victim. And so he's saying here that Kamala Harris knows that narrative, that she too had to work twice as hard. But is that true? Or does she have to screw Willie Brown twice as much to get positions and to get money? Where at what point in time did she struggle? Right. So he's pitching this false narrative about Kamala Harris's that is not true. Again, this is the type of characteristics that these effeminate, skittle black men who are raised by their mama have. He's emotional. He's lying. Let him continue.
And overcome and achieves the second highest office in the land.
Because she was a diversity hire. She didn't earn it. Joe Biden himself said he was going around looking for to hire a black woman for the job of vice president. She's a diversity hire. Just as Ketanji Brown Jackson in the Supreme Court. These are diversity hires. She didn't earn it. She didn't work for it. She's not smart. She's not bright. She didn't put in the work. She didn't get one vote when she ran for president. Nobody liked her until the liberal media said, hey, you should like this lady. She's black. All right. So I've never heard somebody tell so many lies in a span of just 1 minute. This is amazing.
And is putting forward concrete proposals to directly address the things that are vital in our neighborhoods and our communities.
And this is really rich coming from Obama, who for 8 years did nothing for anyone but the homosexuals. He worked for no one but the so-called LGBT, right? And I think he was the one to put the T in the LGB. He added the T. Or did he add the B? He added some letter, then Biden added another letter, right? So but he did nothing, you know, the gay marriage, the don't ask, don't tell. He did nothing for 8 years but work for the gays. And so now he's telling us, he's trying to tell these black men, these black people here, and specifically black men, he say that, oh, she has policies to help you. Well, so you say she's doing more than what you did. But the fact of the matter is that she's doing nothing. There's no policy, no agenda that she's offering that can somehow improve the quality of life of black Americans, especially since she's not talking about deporting people out of these neighborhoods or making the cost of living cheaper by deporting, stopping illegal immigration. There's nothing she's offering here that's helping anyone but her constituents, which, again, like Obama, are the gays. And not just for the gays. I should also add, Kamala Harris' main constituency are women who want to kill the child in their womb, right? And again, I don't know how that helps anyone, especially men who care for the child, who want to have a child and doing things out of order, getting women pregnant. Kamala Harris just wants to tell women that the most important issue in your life, the most important issue that America is facing right now, is we have to commit child sacrifice against as many children as possible. I don't know how that helps Black America, or it has one of the highest abortion rates per capita. I don't know how that helps just further destruction of the Black family. I don't know. Obama's not going to explain it, but that's where we're at.
To directly address the things that are vital in our neighborhoods and our communities, from housing to making sure that our mothers and our fathers and our grandparents can afford medicine, and making sure that we are dealing with prices that are too high and rents.
This brother just making stuff up as they go along. Nothing that he's saying right now, he personally believes. He's just pulling stuff out of his butt.
That are too high and are committed to, is committed to making sure that we maintain the Affordable Care Act so everybody's got healthy and cares about things like education and entrepreneurship in our neighborhoods. And that's on one side. And on the other side, you have someone who has consistently shown disregard, not just for the communities, but for you as a person.
Oh, here he goes. This is part of that, just that narrative. Again, that's the historical grievance that I was telling you about. So if what he's saying, that if Trump has said one thing negative about any Black person at any point in time in history, he did not just say about that particular Black person. Rather, that statement or whatever he said is to be applied to all Black people. This is the historical grievance. So this is when this is part of the ethos and it's part of the culture of liberal Black America. It goes like this, that if anything negative happened to any Black American at any point in time in the last 400 years, from slavery to Jim Crow to whatever, to people being against Barack Obama when he was president in the Senate, they wouldn't let his bills pass. Those things didn't just happen to those individuals. It happened to you. That was part of your personal experience. That's part of your historical grievance. Also, on the flip of that, there's historical jubilation. That anytime something good happened to a Black person, it also happened to you. Right. So it's just not the victimization, but it's also this sort of this jubilation, which is also a type of victimization sort of as well, because it goes both ways. So when Barack Obama was elected president, you can take ownership of that. That was also you. So what he's doing here was saying that, well, when Donald Trump said this to this individual, it applied to you. You were victimized as the individual, not just that victim he said something mean to, or that he tweeted something mean to.
And you're thinking about sitting out? I'm not. But, you know, because of Putin, might be. And you're coming up with all kinds of reasons and excuses. I've got a problem with that. Because part of it makes me think, and I'm speaking to men directly now, part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president.
It's funny that, right. And so we can't really just have, it always comes down to this sort of identity politics, you know, because the way she looks or because of her gender. It's amazing to hear Democrats say that, you know, they actually know what a woman is now. So Kamala's a woman. Okay. And so Black men have a problem that she's a woman. That's why Black men aren't voting for her. Now, I think Black men have a lot of reasons why I think either a lot of them are just sitting out, or some are just voting for Donald Trump. And this is a big issue. Anytime you got to bring Barack Obama out to be America's black dad and speak to black men specifically. Now, he's not speaking to all men. Right. So this is the issue. Democrats are really worried about this because they know they need the black vote to win. So Obama said, oh, it's because she's a woman. I'm concerned about that. That's why. I mean, but what if it is that? I mean, that is a legitimate grievance that I think black men have. Black men have noticed that for the past 80 years in this matriarchy, black America is a matriarchy. It's run by black women in the schools and in the hospitals and the homes, everywhere since the welfare slavery trap has began, when the government started telling that black women, you can have children and not have a husband and we'll give you money, we'll be your daddy. Ever since the Democrats themselves have destroyed the black family in these cities, the black community has been a matriarchy. And now black men are looking, you know, black men, you know, they were rocking with Barack Obama, you know, largely because black women told them to. Because if you go to any profile on any Facebook page of any black liberal woman right now today, go to the Facebook page and scroll through, you'll eventually run into a picture of the Holy Family. By Holy Family, I mean, you know, Barack Obama, Michelle, and their two daughters, right? Every liberal black woman has this picture in her profile on Facebook. And so black men, you know, they understood that black women love Barack Obama more than they love them. They knew that black women are more loyal to Obama and the Democrats than they are to them. So black men, just to try to keep it together, voted for Barack Obama twice. But now black men here in 2024, now the eyes are a little bit more open. They see things a little more clearly. They remember how things were when Donald Trump was president. They're seeing that for the last 16 years, 12 of those years, Democrats were in charge. And so they see this window of 4 years and they remember how good things were for them when Donald Trump was president. And so now the blinders are starting to come off. The haze over the eyes are starting to come off. And black men are starting to realize that the black women have screwed over the black community. That for the past 80 years, they've told black men that this is how they need to vote or else. And black men, they're just done falling for that trick. Done falling for that gimmick. It's over. The only black men that are still voting for Democrats, the only ones that are still voting, they're going to be voting for Kamala Harris, are black men who are effeminate, raised by their mama, or gay. Or had a black man in their life who was effeminate, who was under the thumb of the matriarchy. Those are the only black men who are voting for Kamala Harris. Gay, effeminate, raised by their mama, or had a weak daddy. That's it. And it has nothing to, and so what if it is because she's a woman? Well, black men don't trust black women for a number of reasons, especially the ones like Kamala Harris. And there's really three reasons why black men distrust Kamala Harris. Number one, she's not loyal. Black men, when they look at a loyal black woman, for whatever reason, you know, one of the tests of loyalty is, did you marry a black man? Did you marry a black man? So no. They don't look at Kamala Harris as someone who they trust or someone who's for them because she did not marry a black man. Just like Ketanji Brown Jackson, just like Corinne Jean-Pierre. Every black woman who the Democrats tell us that are for you have shown by who they married that they are not for black men. That's the first reason why black men distrust Kamala Harris. The second reason they distrust her because she's fake. Kamala Harris is fake. Always changing her accent. Always willing to do or say the thing to get the vote. She's a chameleon. She'll say anything at any time to get the result, to get the outcome that she wants. She's not real. She's fake. And black men know that. And so that's the second reason why they distrust her. The third reason why black men distrust Kamala Harris, because she's a hoe. Black men like hoes. They'll mess with a hoe. But they don't respect hoes. They don't trust hoes. And Kamala Harris don't know if she's a hoe or not, but she certainly does have hoe tendencies. When it came to Willie Brown, when it comes to her husband now, Doug Emhoff, who beats women in the streets, who impregnates their nanny, pays for the abortion. Only type of woman who will still stay with a man like that is because of the money. That is a hoe tendency. So those three reasons why black men distrust Kamala Harris. And so, yeah, what if it has something to do with the fact that she's a woman? but she's disloyal. She's fake and she's a hoe. So Barack Obama needs to just do a little bit more insight, spend a little more time with black men to understand why they distrust and why they don't rock with Kamala Harris, other than the fact that, oh, she happens to have a vagina.
And you're coming up with other alternatives and other reasons for that. And I think anybody you are talking to in a barbershop, anybody you are talking to in your house, in your family, at church, who is coming with that kind of attitude, I think you have to ask them, well, how can that be? Because the women in our lives have been getting our backs this entire time. They've been raising us and working and having our backs.
And see that's again, that's the black female matriarchy. That's the black community in a nutshell. Barack Obama is saying, oh, you should be loyal to black women because you didn't have a daddy and your mama was there raising you. That's what he's saying. He's saying that black men, they owe black women, they owe Kamala Harris this vote because of things that other black women have supposedly done. So again, that's that historical grievance, historical jubilation, that somehow, magically, that Kamala Harris, when we see her, we're supposed to see our grandmother, we're supposed to see our mother, right? And then because of that, we owe her the same affection and loyalty and reverence that we owe these women in our life. That's amazing. That's amazing. No, Kamala Harris, we do not owe Kamala Harris anything because she's not one of us. She's not from the black culture. She's not from the black community. She's raised in a middle-class neighborhood, largely in Canada. Nothing from the black experience. I mean, she has a lot more in common with me in my experience of not being raised in that type of community and then going to historically black university, trying to figure out what does it mean to be black, right? Trying to figure out, trying to negotiate and trying to learn how to fit in with the black culture. That's who she is. She's closer to me than she is anybody else because that's not the experience. You can fake the experience. You can learn the experience, but you cannot take ownership or claim the experience if you're not from there. She just has an academic knowledge of the black culture. She has some experience at a high level because she went to HBCU. But we cannot, when we look at her, we cannot see our grandmother and our mother because she's not like us. She's not from there. So again, Barack Obama is doing nothing but lying. But the truth be told, I mean, Kamala Harris is blacker than him. I mean, yeah, they're both mixed heritage, but at least she tried to learn the culture. At least she went to an HBCU, right? And then now they both had these deviation points. Like he married a black woman, she married a white man. They both had these deviation points, but it's interesting that these Democrats who they keep putting up here and claiming that they're like us, claiming that they're black, are always very far from it. Yet these are the same ones who tell us that we must be loyal to them. This is a joke.
And when we get in trouble and the system's not working for us, they're the ones who are out there marching and protesting.
That's not Kamala Harris. That's not her story. I'm so over the black matriarchy. We need the critique he should be giving. Well, why is that? How come these, you know, if he wants to give a lecture to black men, he should be talking about where is the black patriarchy? Where are the husbands? Where are the fathers? How come women are out here marching? How come they have our backs? I'm so over this worship of the black matriarchy that's destroyed the black community. I'm just done.
And so now you're thinking about sitting out or even supporting somebody who has a history of denigrating you because you think that's a sign of strength, because That's what being a man is? Putting women?
Oh, that's what a man is. Putting women down. I would love to have this conversation about Doug Emhoff, who again is beating women in the street, forcing them to have abortions, kissing Jill Biden on the mouth in front of his wife. I would love to have this conversation. It's like, what type of, so the type of man that Kamala's married to is the worst type of man. But so black men, they want to vote for a person, they want to vote for Donald Trump, rather than a woman that's married to a man who beats women and forces them to have abortions and kiss other women on the mouth in front of her. Come on, man. Come on.
That's not acceptable.
No, you're not acceptable.
That's not it. This shouldn't even be a question.
It shouldn't even be a question. Barack Obama is a joke. He's a complete joke. And he knew who the cameras were rolling. He didn't say this on a stage at a speech. No, he went to this little headquarters in Philadelphia, and someone asked him the question, how come black men are not rocking with Kamala Harris? What do you have to say to them? And he put on his Black American Dad shorts and tried to give us a lecture about why we should get behind her. But it's all based upon these lies, this historical grievance, this historical jubilation, this worship of the black matriarchy. All these things that have harmed black America, he's saying are the reasons why we should vote for Kamala Harris to continue the cycle of harm. So she can get in office and she can be a version of him. 8 years where he just supported the gays, did nothing for anyone else but the gays. Let's get Kamala Harris in here so she can do nothing except for women who want to slaughter their baby in a womb. Let's continue the destruction, the cycle of destruction that he began with another mixed person who's not even a black American, but wants to pretend and pose as one. Get out of here, Barack Obama. Can't stand that dude. This is David O. Gray Show. Off code, unscripted. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.